So as you just heard, today's scripture verse worth remembering is about trusting what we cannot see. The unknown author of the letter to the Hebrews begins chapter 1 by explaining the power of faith this way. To have faith is to be sure of the things we hope for, to be certain of the things we cannot see. That's a good representative verse to memorize from the book of Hebrews, because Hebrews speaks of faith more than any other book in the New Testament. Having faith is at the same time both easy and difficult. On the one hand, coming to have faith is a relatively simple step. You don't have to attain special knowledge or possess certain resources or accomplish particular tasks in order to believe. To have faith, all you really need to do is to choose to accept that something is or that something will be. Then on the other hand, it can be difficult to have faith, because what we want to believe may not correspond with what our senses or our common sense tell us is the reality around us. Still, faith is why we're here. I mean, consider, because of their trusting faith in God, our predecessors established this congregation and constructed this building. And before that, because of their trusting faith in God, Scottish pilgrims brought the Presbyterian system of Protestant church organization from the British Isles to this continent. And before that, because of their trusting faith in God, brave, committed missionaries traveled throughout the Mediterranean and Europe and Africa and Asia and the Western Hemisphere over hundreds of years to share the gospel message of God's love revealed in Jesus the Son. Since then, missionaries have been sent out from this country, and in recent decades, I don't know if you know this, missionaries have been coming to this country from other countries. And for none of them was there a promise of success. They had no guarantee that the effort that they expended would result in fruitfulness or security. But they did what they did in faith. They acted in response to God moving their hearts. They sensed God calling them. And they acted in faith because they were sure of what God called them to hope for. They were certain of inevitable accomplishments that they themselves could not yet see. To have faith is to live as though what you long for in the future is already the case. So, for instance, both individually and as a church, we resolve not to simply idolize the past or simply coast through the present. Faith empowers us to face the unknown future with courage and expectant hope. We push forward as individuals and as a church because of our faith in God, which Jesus models for us. By faith, we are reassured that we are always within God's love. Because of our faith in God, we are strengthened to seek God's will for the world. Remember those words? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Faith gives us direction and courage for the way we talk with each other and with others beyond these walls. Faith empowers and guides actions we take to move the world closer to God's will, God's design. Sometimes faith is seen merely as a set of beliefs, a passive reality, like when we talk about the Christian faith. But faith is not passive. Faith is dynamic. Faith has life. Faith is an active response of obedience. A New Testament scholar has written that faith is, quote, that characteristic of the Christian life that enables one both to persevere even in the midst of difficult circumstances and to step out into the unknown with courage and to live in a risky and vigorous way. To live in a risky and vigorous way. Well, I believe that's the situation that we Christians in this country face today. Faith leads us to an active response in obedience to God's plan. When we strive to be sure of the things we hope for, we may need to persevere even in the midst of difficult circumstances. When we strive to be certain of the things we cannot see, we may need to step out into the unknown with courage, even to engage our culture in ways that might be perceived as risky and vigorous. An example. Imagine, for instance, a woman and a man standing side by side, performing the same work. How can anyone justify paying them different wages? Though the situation has improved in recent decades, the reality is that pay disparity still happens. Now, by faith, we are sure that the hoped-for end of pay disparity will come to pass as an expression of economic justice. And yet we don't simply wish it to happen. We persevere in efforts to achieve equality even when opposed by a reluctance to change or by antiquated views of the value of males and females. We persevere because to have faith is to be sure of the things we hope for. Yes, faith leads us to active responses in obedience to God's plan, that whole on earth as it is in heaven thing. So for another example, this is why Christians are generous and hospitable in showing special concern for vulnerable persons. We advocate and provide care for children neglected or abused by people who may lack constructive parenting skills or who may suffer from mental illnesses. We advocate and care for the addict whose sense of self, whose sense of autonomy, whose judgment is under the control of a chemical takeover of her brain. We advocate for and care for refugees fleeing war-torn regions for places of safety. We advocate for individuals and families working to establish a new, safer, more secure life for themselves and their families in this country. Now, the reality is, our world continues to produce victims of abuse and neglect and addiction and aggression. But by faith, we live sure that our hope for an end of abuse and addiction will be fulfilled. By faith, we know that though we may not see the results of our efforts to help and heal, we are certain that we are living into God's plan for health and safety and wholeness. I'll say it again. Faith leads us to active responses in obedience to God's plan. As followers of Jesus, we have faith in the inherent worth and equality of all persons. Consequently, our faith moves us to actively respond when words or actions seek to demean or harm individuals or entire classes of people because of a characteristic like their country of origin, or their skin color, or their gender identity, or their religious beliefs. I mean, we saw angry, fearful, belligerent white supremacists in my home state of Virginia last week. Now, of course, people with such misguided, discredited, evil-provoking viewpoints are not found only in Charlotte. We all know that. It was sickening, disheartening, infuriating to see and to hear their hateful ideology. An ideology, by the way, let's remember this, an ideology that during World War II, our nation and many others opposed with vehemence and nobility and unity of purpose with tremendous sacrifice. When we hear such hateful words, see such hate-inciting assemblies, and feel the pain of fellow human beings being targeted by such vile, dehumanizing demonstrations, how are we to respond? Physiologically and emotionally, our bodies may urge us to stand up and fight back. But how does our faith call us to respond to such hatred? Though it goes against human instinct and expectation, our faith calls us to offer a different response. Those seeking to stir up hatred don't need our hate. They need our love. That's what Jesus said. We heard his words from the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus advised, "You have heard that it was said, love your enemies, love your friends, hate your enemies. But now I tell you, love your enemies." We have faith that our love, love that is inspired by Jesus, love that is modeled by Jesus, love that is fed by Jesus. We have faith that our love can overcome hate. God assures us that the enduring, embracing, encompassing power of love will, in time, snuff out the hate that burns and erodes the hearts of white supremacists and neo-Nazis and others who seek to divide and hurt rather than to unite and heal. Love will overcome the hate fueled by fear of diversity, difference, inclusion. As Martin Luther King Jr. declared, "Darkness cannot drive out darkness, only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate," he said. "Only love can do that." We have faith that we can be sure of the things we hope for on earth as in heaven. We have faith that we can be certain of the triumph of God's will for the world, even if we do not see it at present. Yet again, I will say, when we strive to be sure of the things we hope for, we may need to persevere in the midst of difficult circumstances. When we strive to be certain of the things we cannot see, we may need to step out into the unknown with courage, even to engage our culture in ways that it might be perceived as risky and vigorous, such as praying for hard hearts to be opened to love and acceptance, or learning more about the history and the issues of racial justice, such as will happen at our Bridges event next Sunday night that you can sign up for after church. Or speaking up in peaceful, gracious disagreement when people you're with make insensitive, hurtful, divisive comments related to social justice, or even publicly showing our commitment by joining with others at a prayer vigil or a public assembly. The Christian faith is not a monolithic collection of theological tenets or dusty religious practices. Our faith leads us to active responses in obedience to God's plan.